ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेष्व भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवत्युत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। रीडिंग फ्रॉम The Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhyalila, Chapter 6, Text 144. The chapter is titled The Liberation of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Apadana Karana Adhi Karana Karakatina भगवानेर सविशेषे एति न चिन्ह। ट्रांसलेशन। द पर्सनल फीचर्स ऑफ द सुप्रीम पर्सनैलिटी ऑफ गॉड हेड आर कैटेगराइज्ड इन थ्री केसेस, नेमली अब्लेटिव, इंस्ट्रूमेंटल एंड लोकेटिव। Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur states in his Amrita Pravaha Bhashya that according to the injunction of the Upanishads, the Supreme Absolute Truth is He from whom everything emanates. It is understood that the whole cosmic manifestation emanated from Brahman, the Supreme Absolute Truth. The creation subsists by the energy of the Supreme Brahman and after annihilation merges into the Supreme Brahman. From this we can understand that the Absolute Truth can be categorized in three cases: ablative, instrumental and locative. According to these three cases, the Absolute Truth is positively personified. In this connection, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati quotes the Aitareya Upanishad 1.1.1. Atma va idam eka evagra asin nanyat kinchana mishat sa ikshita lokano srijati. Similarly, in the Shvetashvatara Upanishad, chapter 4, text 9, it is stated, Chandansi yajna kritavo vratani भूतं भव्यं यच्च वेदा वदन्ति यस्मान् मयि सृजते विश्वमेतत् तस्मिं शान्यो मायया सनिरुद्धः। एंड इन द तैतरीय उपनिषद 3.1, यतो वा इमानि भूतानि जायन्ते येन जातानि जीवन्ति यत् प्रयन्ति अभिसंविशन्ति तद् विजिज्ञासव तद् ब्रह्म। दिस वॉज द आंसर गिवन बाय फादर वरुण व्हेन क्वेश्चन्ड बाय हिज सन वारुणी भृगु अबाउट द एब्सोल्यूट ट्रूथ। इन दिस मंत्र द वर्ड यतः द एब्सोल्यूट ट्रूथ from which the cosmic manifestation has emanated, is in the ablative case. That Brahman, by which this universal creation is maintained, is in the instrumental case, yena. And that Brahman, into which the whole cosmic manifestation merges, is in the locative case, yat or yasmin. It is stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 5, Text 20. Idam hi vishvam bhagavan ivetaro yato jagat sthana nirodha sambhavaha. The entire universal creation is contained in the gigantic form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Everything emanates from Him. Everything rests in His energy. And after annihilation, everything merges into His person. Om Jnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kada Mahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapadakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padang Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Nitinamine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda
Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya
Nityananda Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda
Jaya
Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda
Jaya
Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda
Jaya
Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, I am very happy to be at the morning class at the Bhaktivedanta Manor. It has been a very long time since I have had this good fortune of being with all of you on this forum, and I am very happy to be back again for this Chaitanya Charitamrita class. This chapter is entitled The Liberation of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. It is the sixth chapter of the Mathi Lila of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. We have read today verse number 144. I will read the translation again. The personal features of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are categorized in three cases, namely ablative, instrumental, and locative. Now, to understand this verse better, we have to refer to the previous verse, text 143, in which Mahaprabhu says, "Everything in the cosmic manifestation emanates from the Absolute Truth, remains in the Absolute Truth, and after annihilation again enters the Absolute Truth. Brahma hoite janme Vishwa." Vishwa means the material world. So janma refers to the fact that it takes birth from. Brahma hoite means it emanates from the Supreme Brahman. Brahmete jivaya. It remains in the Absolute Truth. It's sustained by the Supreme Brahman. Shai Brahme punarapi hoy jaya laya. Laya means after annihilation, then it re-enters into the Brahman or the Supreme Absolute Truth. So here, what is being spoken about essentially in text 143 is the cosmic manifestation. So the material creation is the subject in the previous verse. And it is explained by Mahaprabhu there that the cosmic manifestation emanates from the Lord, it is sustained by Him, and after annihilation, it enters into Him. So therefore, we also have the Supreme Lord. We have the cosmic manifestation, and we have the Supreme Lord. And there is a relationship that exists between the two. And that relationship is seen in terms of three phases. The phase of creation, the phase of sustenance, and the phase of destruction. So what is the relationship between the Supreme Lord at the time of creation? The Supreme Lord is the origin of the material creation. He is the source. Then in the phase of sustenance, what is the relationship? The relationship is that it is the Supreme Lord who sustains or maintains the cosmic manifestation. And what is the relationship in terms of annihilation? It is the Supreme Lord who destroys the entire material manifestation, and the cosmos then enters into Him. So therefore we see the relationship between the Supreme Lord and the cosmic manifestation is being described in text 143 in these three phases of creation, maintenance, and annihilation, or even post-annihilation. Now in text 144, the focus is on the Supreme Lord. Even though the subject matter is the same, the Supreme Lord, the cosmic manifestation, and the three phases of the relationships. But in text 143, the focus was on the cosmic manifestation. In text 144, the focus is on Bhagavan. Not just on Brahman, because Mahaprabhu used the word Brahman. Brahman actually refers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But some people may misconstrue this or misunderstand this to be the impersonal spiritual light. So to ensure that this is correctly understood, in this verse, Mahaprabhu says, Bhagavanera sa vishesha etina chihna. Bhagavan refers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Bhagavanera means of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sa vishesh refers to the personality. The impersonal Brahman is called nirvishesh, which means that it is without any specific attributes or qualities like form and so on. But the Supreme Absolute Truth ultimately is the Supreme Person, the transcendental, transcendentally beautiful person, Sarvishesh. So Mahaprabhu makes it clear that, what is the apology? So he makes it clear that actually the relationship of the cosmic manifestation with the Supreme Lord has to be seen in terms of the Supreme Lord ultimately being a person. And also the concept of three cases is being mentioned by Mahaprabhu here. Now we'll have to do a bit of grammar 101. Remember your school grammar, whichever language you may have studied in, basic principles of grammar are mostly the same. So we have a word called a case. The cases generally refer to modifications of a noun or a pronoun or an adjective, you know, to indicate a certain alteration of the meaning. To indicate when you want to indicate relationships of that particular word or that noun with respect to an action or another object, then you modify that noun. It's called a case. So there are many cases, and this is not going to be a lecture on grammar, but since These three words have been mentioned here, ablative, instrumental, and locative. So naturally, I must have a bit of discussion on these three cases. So out of the numerous cases, what are these three cases? What is the ablative case? The ablative case is where we speak of something coming from something. So we may say, for example, that the delicious fruits come from the tree. So this is, so you have the fruits which are delicious. Delicious is the adjective for the word fruits. Come from, or come indicates the origin of the verb. And where do they come from? They come from the tree. But it's not enough to say the delicious fruits come tree. No, you have to say it comes from the tree. So instead of the tree, you have a phrase which is from the tree. So this phrase from the tree indicates that the tree is the origin of the fruits. It gives an indication of the relationship of the tree with the fruits in terms of origin. So therefore, you have a sentence like the delicious fruits come from the tree. Similarly, we may say the cosmic manifestation comes from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this is the ablative way of saying it, the ablative case. But you could also word it around, and you could say from the tree come delicious fruits. So similarly, you could say from Bhagavan comes this cosmic manifestation. It means the same thing. It's still the ablative case. So the operative word is from, right? So from where is the cosmic manifestation coming? It's coming from Bhagavan. So from Bhagavan. Then the next word that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu uses here is instrumental. The instrumental case is generally used when we want to say with or by. For example, I say I write with a pen, or I write by the use of a pen. So I am the subject, write is the verb, and there's an object called the pen. But if I say I write pen, that's not enough. So that gives a different meaning. But what I want to say is that I use the pen, and it is by the medium of the pen that I write. So then I have to use the word, a phrase, or some words before pen. So I say I write with a pen, or by the use, I write with the use of a pen. So that phrase then is the instrumental case in the of the pen, of the word pen. Now in Sanskrit, things are much simpler because it's just the one word which is modified. There is a suffix. This ending of the word changes a little bit. In English and some other languages, you have to add words. Like here, we're using with or by the use of. So in any case, this is the instrumental use. So, for example, the creation is maintained by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Or to turn it the other way around, by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the creation is maintained. So this is still the instrumental case. And finally, Mahaprabhu mentions the locative case. The locative case, as the word indicates, a location, and it's used when we modify a word by in or on or at, among, so on. So it indicates a location where something happens. For example, animals roam in the forest. So animal is the subject, roam is the verb, forest is the animals is a subject, roam is the verb, and forest is the object. But if I say animals roam forest, it doesn't make sense. So I have to modify the word forest by adding two more words, in the. So it becomes animals roam in the forest. So in the forest becomes the locative case. Or you can turn it the other way around and say, in the forest the animals roam. So similarly, here also we can say, the creation enters into the Supreme Lord after annihilation. Or you can turn it around and say, into the Supreme Lord the creation enters after annihilation. It means the same thing. So therefore, you have these three cases. So in very simple terms now, in case you've lost me in the midst of all this grammar katha, just remember three things. From Bhagavan, by Bhagavan, and in Bhagavan. From, by, and in. So from Bhagavan, the creation emanates. By Bhagavan, the creation is maintained. And into Bhagavan, the creation enters after annihilation. So very simple. So here in the purport, Srila Prabhupada quotes from the Taittiriya Upanishad. Yatova imani bhutani jayante. And Srila Prabhupada explains that in this particular portion of this Upanishad, the son of Varuna, whose name is Varuni Bhrigu, inquires from his father about the absolute truth. And Varuna is replying to that question, explaining who or what that absolute truth is. And he uses these three. He uses the ablative, the instrumental, and the locative cases to explain what the absolute truth is. Here the focus is on the absolute truth. Yato, yato means yataha. Yataha means from which. So yato va imani bhutani jayante. Jayante means to emanate, that which is born from. Bhutani, imani bhutani refers to all these creatures or this entire creation. So the absolute truth is he from which this entire creation emanates. So from the absolute truth, the entire creation emanates. So that is Varuna's explanation in the ablative case about the supreme absolute truth. Then in the instrumental case, yena jatani jivanti, by which or by whom, because we understand is a person, jatani jivanti, that this cosmic manifestation is maintained, it is sustained. So it is the instrumental case, because the Supreme Lord is acting to maintain the creation. And finally, the locative case, yat paryanti abhi samvishanti. So yat refers to yasmin, into which. So into which enters the entire cosmic manifestation after it has been annihilated. So the same thing that has been explained here by Mahaprabhu is spoken about in the Taittiriya Upanishad. But the language of the Taittiriya Upanishad, like the other Upanishads, may not be so easy to understand. It's a little technical, a little too philosophical. So Mahaprabhu has explained things in simple ways, and Srila Prabhupada has elucidated and made it even more clear for all of us. So then, Srila Prabhupada concludes his purport by quoting this famous verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 5, Text 20. Idam hi vishvam bhagavan ivetaro yato jagat sthana nirodha sambhavaha. Idam hi vishvam. Idam refers to this. So this vishvam, this material manifestation, Bhagavan ivetaro, is contained in the gigantic form of the Supreme Lord. Yataha, from whom? It is from him. that it emanates jagat sthana nirodha sambhavaha. So it's emanate. So the Supreme Lord is He from whom it emanates, it is maintained, and it is destroyed. So this is the conclusion of this purport. So to summarize, very simply then, don't get too, shall we say, confused by these technical terms used in text 144, apadana, karana and adhikarana. Just know that they indicate ablative, instrumental and the locative cases. And what do these mean? They mean from, by and into. So to summarize, it is from Bhagavan that the material manifestation emanates. It is by Bhagavan that the entire material manifestation is maintained. And it is into Bhagavan that the entire cosmic manifestation enters after it is annihilated. So in this way, the relationship between the Supreme Lord and the cosmic manifestation is explained with reference to the three phases of creation, maintenance and destruction. Now this theme appears in many places. So I will not go further into this because today is also the disappearance day of Srila Jagannath Das Babaji, who is very important for us. In our Mangalacharana prayers, we chant his pranam mantra, Gaura Virbhava Bhume Stvam Nirdeshta Sajjana Priyaha Vaishnava Sarvabhauma Shri Jagannathayate Namaha. So Gaura Avirbhava Bhumestvam Nirdeshta. Avirbhava refers to the birth or the appearance. Whose appearance? The appearance of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. Gaura Avirbhava Bhumehe. Bhume means on the Bhumi or on the earth. Tvam means you have. Nirdeshta. Nirdeshta indicates indicator. So, O Jagannath Das Babaji, you are the one who actually indicated the spot on which, at which the Supreme Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu advented himself. Secondly, Sajjana Priyaha. Sat means truth, Jana means persons. So those people who live by the truth, in other words, very saintly people, you are very dear to them. You are Sajjana Priyaha. Vaishnava Sarvabhauma. You are the most exalted and the most respected amongst all the Vaishnavas. Sri Jagannathaya. Unto this Sri Jagannath Das Babaji, Te Namaha. I offer my humble obeisances. So that's the meaning of his pranam mantra. Today, in the Vedic month of Phalgun, in the waxing fortnight of the month, and in the first day of the waxing fortnight, this is the day of disappearance of Sri Jagannath Das Babaji. He departed from this world on the physical plane in Koladvipa, which is one of the nine islands of Navadvip. He performed his austerities and his bhajan over there for many, many years. Now, a bit of history may be in order, that things have not always been, shall we say, bright and rosy in the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, because there have been periods when things have been very difficult for the Sampradaya. So the Gaudiya Vaishnavas indicate that there are four dark periods that have happened so far in Gaudiya history, Gaudiya Vaishnava history. One is before the appearance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The second was after the disappearance of the six Goswamis. The third was after the disappearance of Srinivasacharya Narottam Das Thakur and Shyamananda Pandit and Rasikananda. And then there was another dark period after the disappearance of Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur and Baladev Vidyabhushan. So, of course, it doesn't mean that in these so-called dark periods that the Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy or the practice disappeared. It didn't. But it was subdued. It remained the preserve of just some exalted Vaishnavas who were practicing or who were doing their devotional activities in private. It was not so publicly known. But some of these great acharyas, they were exalted preachers as well, and they took Krishna consciousness everywhere into the society at large. So Baladev Vidyabhushan had a disciple called Uddhav Das, who had another disciple also called Uddhav Das, who had a disciple called Madhusudan Das Babaji, who was a very famous Babaji. He was called Madhusudan Das Babaji. He resided at Surya Kund in Braj. And this Madhusudan Das Babaji gave Babaji Diksha or Paramhamsa Vesha, the dress of a Paramahansa, to Jagannath Das. And then he became Babaji. So he was called Jagannath Das Babaji. Jagannath Das Babaji, he went to Vrindavan and stayed there and performed bhajan for many years. It is mentioned that one time when he was living there, a scholar came from Bengal, specifically from Katwa, which is the place where Mahaprabhu took sannyas. And he came to Vrindavan with the idea of speaking on the Bhagavatam, exhibiting his erudition, his scholarship about the Srimad Bhagavatam, and earning a lot of wealth. Naturally, the pure Vaishnavas don't like this kind of attitude at all, because this is an offense against the Bhagavatam. To speak the Srimad Bhagavatam with the idea that one can earn something materially from it. Srila Prabhupada has on numerous occasions very strongly disapproved of this practice. So, when this particular Vaishnava came, he was a Vaishnava, it is just that he had a lot of material desires. And he took note of the fact that none of these exalted Vaishnavas would come and attend his classes. His classes indeed were very attractive and very scholarly. And when he inquired from them as to why they didn't attend his classes, Jagannath Das Babaji explained to him the reason. He said the purpose of the Srimad Bhagavatam is not to exhibit one's scholarship in the Bhagavatam. One does that for the service of the Lord and the devotees, and it is not to be done as a means of livelihood. One should not be a professional Bhagavatam reciter. So due to the sublime association of these exalted Vaishnavas like Jagannath Das Babaji, this speaker of the Bhagavatam transformed himself, and then he became a humble devotee and continued to serve the Srimad Bhagavatam under the shelter of these Vaishnavas. Sometime later, Jagannath Das Babaji returned to Navadvip, and it was around 1880 that he first met Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur. Now you know that in our altars, in our temples and homes, we have the Guru Parampara. And we have Srila Prabhupada, we have Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, then we have Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj, we have Bhakti Vinod Thakur, then we have Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj. To indicate that Bhakti Vinod Thakur accepted Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj as his preeminent Shiksha Guru. Bhakti Vinod Thakur had taken Diksha elsewhere, but he accepted Shiksha from the pure line of Mahaprabhu, where only Krishna Prema was being propagated and and actually demonstrate it as well. So Bhaktivinod Thakur was extremely overjoyed to get the association of such a pure Vaishnava. And he began to attend his kirtans and he began to get his association. And Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes in Sajjana Toshani about the kirtans that he saw and participated in which Jagannath Das Babaji also participated. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes the ecstatic symptoms that he saw in the body of Jagannath Das Babaji. And all the devotees used to be struck with wonder. Even at that time, Jagannath Das Babaji was very, very old. And he was practically bent over. He was actually very tall. He was about 6 feet tall. But in a normal posture, he was bent over. But when he started doing kirtan, and he was in the midst of the devotees, and then he used to jump sometimes, and he used to stretch himself up to the full extent of his 6 feet. And sometimes he would jump as high as 4 feet in the air or 5 feet in the air. So extraordinary energy used to flow through his body at the times of the kirtan. One of the most important contributions of Srila Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj, for which we remember him, among all the other things that he did for which we also remember him, is that he discovered the birthplace of Mahaprabhu, as I mentioned at the beginning, Gaura Virbhava Bhumistvam Nirdeshta. And at that time also he was very old. It is mentioned that he had a servant called Bihari Das. And Bihari Das used to carry Jagannath Das Babaji in a little wicker basket, because Babaji Maharaj was so bent over and there was no way he could walk on his own. So Bihari Das would place him in that wicker basket. He would lift the basket and place it on his head, or maybe he would hold it in some way, and then he would carry Jagannath Das Babaji from place to place. This was how old he was. At one time, Bhaktivinoda Thakur wanted to confirm the exact location of the appearance of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When the glories of Bhaktivinoda Thakur are discussed, Bhaktivinoda Thakur's role in this can also be discussed in more detail. But suffice it to say that Bhaktivinoda Thakur had an idea, but he wanted to have the confirmation from an exalted soul like Jagannath Das Babaji. So he requested the Babaji to come, and he gladly agreed. And three boatfuls of devotees crossed the river Ganga to go to Mayapur. And it was there that he identified. When he came to that place, he became infused with such extraordinary energy that he leaped into the air and said, "Hari Bol, Hari Bol." And he indicated that this was the exact spot where Mahaprabhu was born. And nearby, he also identified the place where Chand Kazi had broken the mridanga of the devotees when they were chanting kirtan. And that was in the place that was known as Shiva's Angan. So it was by Jagannath Das Babaji's desire then that deity worship was also established at these places. It was his desire that at one place the deities of Jagannath, Jagannath Mishra and Sachi Mata should be worshipped, and at the other place the deities of Nimai Pandit, that is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his Grihastha Leela, should be worshipped along with Lakshmi Priya and Vishnu Devi, Vishnu Priya. Lakshmi Priya and Vishnu Priya. So he also wanted the deities of Panchatattva. So then the deities were installed, and Jagannath Das Babaji continued to do bhajan there. His samadhi is in Koladweep, where he resided. And Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur expresses his deep appreciation and respect for Srila Jagannath Das Babaji. So today is his disappearance day anniversary. So we will pray at the lotus feet of Sri Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj that he may kindly bless us to become pure devotees of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna and to participate in Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan movement. Today also happens to be the disappearance day anniversary of another great Vaishnava whom I just mentioned once earlier, that is Sri Rasikananda Prabhu. So Rasikananda Prabhu also was a very exalted devotee, a disciple of Shyamananda Pandit, and he preached extensively in the region that is today called Orissa, and he transformed the whole region. His spiritual powers were super excellent, and there are numerous instances of him having performed miraculous activities. For example, when he once controlled a herd of elephants that seemed to have become very violent, and he went into their midst, and just by his proximity, just by his physical association and his glance, all the maddened elephants immediately calmed down. Rasikananda Prabhu was a prolific preacher, and he made thousands and thousands of devotees in the whole region of Orissa. So we can also pray at his lotus feet today that he can kindly grant us his mercy so that we may progress in our Krishna consciousness. So we have 10 minutes more, and if there is any question, then I'll be happy to try to answer. So we'll halt here. Thank you.
Katha, it's so blissful to hear about pastimes of these exalted Vaishnavas and of course of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as well. We have one question from Sundarananda Prabhu.
Yes.
So I will hand over to him.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, Madam, I pronounce to you.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Maharaj. As always, you make it so simple, this grammar lesson, and it's so easy to understand. Maharaj, I just wanted your comment on the realization I had when you were speaking about Jagannath Das Babaji and the relationship with Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And Maharaj, it's a simple message from Bhagavad Gita when we hear about the Bhakti Yoga versus Gyan Yoga. And it's so difficult for people to understand out there that Bhakti Yoga is supreme. Now, just taking the initiation and finding a spiritual master, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is an epitome of knowledge and scriptures. Of course, it's Bhakti, but really very, very knowledgeable person, as opposed to Jagannath Das Babaji, whose really heart is all Bhakti, purity, and love of Lord, and Kirtan. So a person like Bhaktivinoda Thakur, accepting him as a spiritual master, just speaks volumes of how the message is giving us about Bhakti Yoga versus Gyan Yoga. I just wanted your comments on that, Maharaj.
Okay, thank you, Sundarananda Prabhu, for your question. A similar thing happened with Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur and Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj as well. But important point to note here is that scholarship is not a necessary criterion or a determining factor of exaltedness in Krishna consciousness. By scholarship, I mean intellectual or academic scholarship or knowledge of, you know, certain technicalities and so on. But of course, Because personalities like Gaur Kishor Das Babaji Maharaj and Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj are actually so exalted, all the required knowledge was within them. So we see instances when they would speak verses, they would speak philosophy as well. Because everything was revealed to them, whatever was required for them to for their own service to Krishna and for the sake of explaining it to others was given to them. So they were not lacking in any respect in terms of knowledge. So we don't speak in terms of Jnana Yoga and Bhakti Yoga. It was all Bhakti Yoga. Even the scholarship of the Shastras, when it's done by devotees with the idea of pleasing Krishna and serving the devotees, is also Bhakti Yoga. Jnana Yoga is a different thing. Jnana refers to knowledge. Knowledge of the scriptures, knowledge about the Lord and His pastimes, when done in a devotional mood, is an integral part of Bhakti Yoga. When we speak of Jnana Yoga, we speak of a process. We speak of a process that essentially involves mental speculation. It involves austerities. And the idea is that eventually it leads to the conclusion of the absolute truth being impersonal, and with the ultimate goal being that one should merge into that impersonal. So one must distinguish between the different usages of the word jnana or knowledge. When used as a process, that's jnana yoga, which is a speculative process. But when knowledge is seen in connection with the Supreme Lord and His name, fame, form, pastimes, abode, devotees, then that very same knowledge is the same as bhakti. It's not different from bhakti. And then this knowledge, which may be theoretical in the beginning for neophyte devotees, then becomes internally realized by the exalted souls. So the scholarship of... there is no difference really between the scholarship of Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur on one hand, and the deep realizations of Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj and Gaur Kishor Das Babaji Maharaj on the other hand. Okay, any other questions?
Sight of the teachings of Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj or Gaur Kishor Das Babaji Maharaj, we don't see much of their teachings. We see their, we have got the idea of their pastimes, but is there any sort of scripture where their teachings are included or their words are included?
Well, they were mostly bhajananandis, but they also preached. Yes, they did. But they didn't necessarily write books. For that matter, even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't write books. He left that to his followers, like the six Goswamis. So similarly, Jagannath Das Babaji and Gaur Kishor Das Babaji Maharaj, they did not write books. But when they spoke the distilled essence of the most sublime conclusions of Krishna consciousness. They were not in any way lacking in knowledge. They were not unaware of anything that was necessary for a pure Vaishnava to know. Okay, thank you. Say that again, Jagannath Das Babaji. So your question is that was, did I say in the class that Jagannath Das Babaji was the only one who was in line with the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? No, not necessarily. But he was the one who played a very major role in removing, or rather dissipating, the darkness of that dark period after the disappearance of Baladev Vidyabhushan, when Gaudiya Vaishnava, the sampradaya of Gaudiya Vaishnavas had come into disrepute because of different, wrong interpretations being given to the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Mahaprabhu's teachings were misrepresented. And when Jagannath Das Babaji came on the scene, there were other Vaishnavas too, but they were mostly low profile. But then there were others like Bhaktivinod Thakur who came forward and preached more and more. Actually, at one meeting, it was Jagannath Das Babaji who instructed Bhaktivinod Thakur to preach widely. Even these Babajis would preach, but they were mostly in the company of their fellow exalted Vaishnavas. So there were other exalted Vaishnavas too, but they were not very prominent when it came to being on the forefront of preaching out there in the world at large. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur really took on the preaching spirit, and then he started writing books, he started speaking very extensively, and so on. When Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj were there, there was also a Vishva Vaishnava Raj Sabha, a gathering of Vaishnavas that was started. So in that sense, even Babaji Maharaj was very much linked with preaching. Okay, so I think we'll stop here. It's 2 o'clock. I know the manor is very particular about timings. We start at 7:30 sharp and end at 8:30 sharp, so it's exactly 8:30 at the manor. So thank you all very much. I'm very happy once again I could get your association. I do hope all of you are keeping well. The COVID pandemic hasn't gone yet. I hope you're all safe and taking all the precautions, and I hope that your Krishna consciousness is also progressing nicely. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai, Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Bol, Hare Krishna.